Hello, everybody. This is Bart Sharp with Becoming Quantum Conscious on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 and 105.3, broadcasting out of the beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. And we are not only in New Orleans, but I am in lovely France, and it is lovely, cold, and crappy France, with the weather being cold and rainy and windy so much that it'll blow your mustache off if you are in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, and everybody's wondering, when is spring going to happen? However, we're cozily away in the room, and my guest today is cozily away in Chicago, Illinois, and we welcome Kay Gardner of Internal Family Systems.
Yeah, Bart, so nice to be here with you. It's so nice to be with you again.
Yes, it is.
I'm last year in France.
Yes, yes. Kay has gone on the French tours with me, and that's how we got together. She's a very tricky woman in that she was thinking, I'm going to create a France Mary Magdalene vacation, and I'm going to get all my favorite girlfriends to come. You know, it's sort of like, I don't want to tour with people I don't want to know. I want to tour with my friends, and she handpicked all of these people. And they were amazing women of power of magnitude type of thing. It's always fun to take people around that are so focused. Mm-hmm. And yes, you were focused, and we got the Magdalene on and empowered everybody's lives. Just like this topic we have today, the empowerment of feminine consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's been quite a journey. And like the group that you were with and that you recruited, and like, more importantly, you were on the front lines of activism for feminism or for women in general. Let's not say feminism, because that's like a characteristic of masculine and feminine, whereas this is like this journey of female rights turning into feminine consciousness.
Well, I'd love to talk about that for a minute, because like when I was I'm 68 years old now, but when I was in my early 20s, I was very involved with feminism, but I always felt like I was like on a different path than my sisters and my colleagues, who were very political, and it was very politicized for them. And for me, I knew it was something else, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it until I met one of my primary mentors in life. Her name was Barbara Cargill. And Barbara was, she was really walking the path of the divine feminine. And I could sense it in her, but I didn't quite know what I was sensing. And she, together in my work with her, she's also a Hakomi therapist and became a IFS therapist. And I realized what it was. It was like, no, I'm not, it's not just feminism. It's really like walking the path of the divine feminine and listening to that voice and having that voice leading me. And it was many years before I realized that that's what it was. And that's why I felt different than a lot of my friends who were out, you know, being political. And it was never political for me. Although it kind of is political, right? Like it definitely was up in the political realms, but it was something different. Like I was marching to a different drummer, and I know that I am a direct disciple of Mary Magdalene and some of the other goddesses that came before her. And my life has been like uncovering that and discovering that, and then trying to bring that message out into the world in lots of different ways, IFS being one of the biggest.
And I, you know, of course, on this show, because I'm a France type of guy, you know, Mary Magdalene comes up, and I just see so many people in this community on Facebook, because that's kind of where I socialize through internet, of that passion. Like Mary Magdalene is one of our leaders. And it's really funny because, you know, we have all of these ideas, but it's more like personal interpretation sometimes of what we think Mary provides for us. Yet, you know, her history is kind of sparse. There's a lot of unknown leeway in that.
It's like lots. But being able to tap into it energetically and to be able to tap into those lineages and get that information directly is really, you know, what I've tried to do most of my life. And, you know, I spend a lot of time teaching legacy burdens and ancestral burdens, and IFS, it's kind of my specialty. And when I tap into my ancestral heritage and the guides that I work with, she's a primary one.
Wow.
And then there's others, but it's like really get it. We can't get that information through the history books. Like, we have to get it energetically.
We really do
that, and teaching people to do that and doing it in groups is kind of what I'm all about these days.
And to clarify this just a little bit, you are talking about your internal family systems, systems with the going back generations, ancestral activations and discoveries. You had a better word for it than I am trying to say. And so this is, you know, this kind of matches. I mean, they have gone like together for you and your spiritual journey, if I understand you.
Always. Well, here's the story. When I met Dick Schwartz, and it was probably 35 years ago, I was already a Hakomi therapist, which is a body-centered type of psychotherapy, which is also very, very beautiful. And I met Dick Schwartz, and I watched him do a piece of work, and I did some work myself with him. And then he had taken me on this path exercise where you have a guide come in, and the guide came in, and it was the dark feminine. I didn't realize it was Mary Magdalene at the time. I just knew that it was the dark feminine. And that came to me always, you know, all my life. Came to me.
What is the dark feminine to you?
Well, I think it's Mary Magdalene, because it's really, you know, my sense is that the feminine has really been exiled in our culture, like for thousands of years, frankly. And so she's kind of in the dark because she's been exiled for so long. So she often comes to people, women, men, as the dark feminine, because she's in the dark, right? So to bring her out into the light, I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing here on the planet. I think I've always known that. And to bring her more into the light, which is what you're doing, Bart, like these journeys that you take women on. It's like, I'm so.
And men.
Yes. Both. Yes. It's not just for women. It's definitely, there's a lot of men who walk this path, and you're one of them. My former husband was one of them. Like, there's a lot of men.
Yes. But I think the women are leading the way with this. They seem to be hungrier for it.
Oh God. I've been starving for 2000 years. Like,
yeah,
starving, really.
And I love your concept about, because when I think of the dark feminine, there's a lot of different concepts with that particular title. And I love the way you say it. This is the unrecognized spirit of feminine.
Yes.
You know, and yes, you can say, yes, it's women being repressed or women being abused or having to take a second seat to men and, you know, voter rights, lesser pay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's this other aspect of like our presence as this wisdom source, this truth source.
You know, there's a really amazing book that one of my spiritual directors had directed me to, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, called Catafalque by Peter Kingsley. And he's a Jungian. And he talks about a time thousands of years ago where what the wisdom, the philosophers and the rule makers of the time would go down to southern Italy, and they would do something called incubation, where they would lay on the earth and they would allow and they would lay for hours, you know, hours and days, and they would consult with Persephone. That was the goddess that they consulted with. And Persephone would invoke all their wisdom, and they would come back up and they would make their laws, you know, with the consultation of Persephone. And they wouldn't change anything without consulting with the feminine first.
Why Persephone?
Well, that's the goddess of the underworld. So she was the strongest woman in southern Italy. She was like their girl down there. You know, you could be consulting with any of them, right? Like,
yeah.
In culture, it's been more Mary Magdalene, but you know, for the Greeks, they might, you know, if they wanted something else, they might consult with Athena or what, you know, whatever. But always brought into there wouldn't be a decision made without them. And recently, I went to a film that was made by Native American women, and they talked about how the white women had been inspired by them because they always had, the feminine was always primary with Native people. Like, it was never exiled. So the men wouldn't create laws without the consultation of the women in the culture, right? So it's not about politics. It's really about, is the feminine honored and listened to and consulted? You know, and patriarchal culture has been going on for 2,000 years. And so the feminine has been exiled more and more. Yeah. And those of us who are really trying to bring her back up, and the earth needs this right now. I mean, we're in deep trouble. Look around. Like, And I think this is really what we need, not like, I don't know. No. So anyways, that's my job. I think it's your job on the planet. And we're coming out more now.
We really are. I'm always amazed, as we talked about internal family systems. Here I am with a group of women, like six women. Five are internal family systems folks. Mm-hmm. And here I am, this shaman guy, or this done shamanistic work. And I've been doing it for 12, 15 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And we had so many parallels of how we did things. And, you know, I was sitting back going, wait a minute, they're just doing what I do. And yet, they're teaching people this internal world through their sessions.
Yeah.
And it's a coaching as well as a therapy and well as an activation of energetic clearance.
Yes. Well, it's like when I had studied shamanism for years. And so when I came to IFS, I was like, this is a shamanistic approach. Like, we do unburdenings. We use the elements. You know, we call on guides, and, you know, and some of us now, I'm not like all the rest of some of the IFS trainers are just straight up psychotherapists, and they're teaching therapy and they're teaching this technique. I'm a little, you know, I'm like Dick Schwartz. Yeah, a little woo-woo. Dick Schwartz, hey, not for everybody. I'm like, I know. But now I think, more and more, you know, the work that we're doing in the world is much more accepted.
Yeah. And you're one of the key trainers. You've been doing this for 30 plus years. And
yeah. You know, we're just on the ground floor of bringing the trainings into the world. And at that point, Dick didn't know about working with the body or, you know, and there were a group of women really who helped him give birth to his ideas. That's what happened. It's like the women kind of came around and filled it all in. And that's how it happened. But that's how it happens, right? You have to really listen to the feminine. And
it does. And maybe, you know, the male is kind of like, he might be the center point, and maybe the world needed to see that, because that's so-called trustable, or that's the expert, or something like that. But, you know, when we're talking about going into the other side, mm-hmm. into this deep intuitive place, mm-hmm. this is the feminine world. It yes. can't, men can do it, but women are more naturally inclined.
Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. So we brought, there was a whole crew of us who kind of brought in our wisdom and filled out what he had and said, let's take this out on the road, you know? And then it was just, you know, we built it slowly. We started in Chicago with like 16 people, and now we're all over the world, and there's like 7,000 people on the waiting list. You know, people are really clamoring for the work, because it is shamanistic, but it's psychotherapy. So it's, you know, it's, and it really, I think, has a very, very strong core of the divine feminine in it.
It certainly sounds like it, because if you're going to explore something like this, you really have to get into the feminine aspects of your body.
Yes.
I definitely see that the, you know, you have a masculine side and a feminine side, mm-hmm. and they both have different messages. They both are trying to resolve different aspects of our limitations in a different way.
Yes.
So, the feminine is the guide to this.
Yes.
It can't really be a masculine thing, but I think this is very true for what the world needs.
Yeah.
It needs some very innovative courage.
Yes, absolutely. And to be able to really tap in, like I, just this morning, like I got caught in an old paradigm for myself, like feeling, you know, competitive and feeling like I'm writing a book right now. So it's like, I got to get my book out and I got to, blah, 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 I got to present it, blah, blah, blah. You know, all this rhetoric that was going through my head. And it's like, I can catch myself there. And then I had to bring myself back and go into meditation and consult with my guides who are, you know, who actually consulted with Mary Magdalene this morning. And then I could come back into alignment with how to even bring my ideas out into the world and how to share, and not from some place of like competition and pushing. And, you know, it's really, it's very seductive to go to that. And it's like in our, that's what we've learned, right?
Yes.
How we've learned to manage the world is through that patriarchal style. Men and women, right? Like exactly.
And also it's like the masculine says, we want to put pressure and use an emotion such as fear or anger or guilt or something like that to push your way through it and take action to conquer it or to make yourself safe from it. But the feminine kind of looks at it very differently.
Yes. It's a different viewpoint, right? It is.
And, you know, I had this, I woke up, there's a cave here. You went, the Caves of Mary Magdalene, and it has been outlawed by the Marie or the mayor of the local nearby town, Rennes Chateau. And of course, this kind of enraged me that, you know, who the hell is he to outlaw people to come onto sacred ground?
Oh.
And I went to bed that night, woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, can't go to sleep. And I thought, oh, damn it, I'm going to write a letter. And I get my computer out and type out this letter. And then all of a sudden I could sleep, you know, and I was, you know, and I had this very threatening, like, attitude, like, I'm going to get that guy. I know how I can fix his wagon.
Yes.
And then I woke up extremely depressed.
Yes.
It's like sad, like, whoa, woe is me. And I go, wait a minute. am I trying to, am I depressed over that this man is doing this? Am I depressed because I wrote a letter? No, I was depressed because I was thinking of sending it. And it was such a masculine approach
yes.
to solve the problem, which really needed faith.
Yes.
It needed yes. something else.
Yeah.
I don't have all the answers to this, but as soon as I discover that and go, oh, you know, don't send the letter.
Yes.
You know, and all of a sudden I was happy.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Something else is holding you, right? Something else is instructing you and holding you. And
yeah, I think writing the letter was necessary because yeah. it kind of like let that rage of the masculine come out.
Yeah.
And yet something in the feminine finally got recognized that says, no, you're okay.
Yes.
You're nurtured. You're love.
Yes. Yes. Right. And you could be held in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so, you know, just thinking of internal family systems, because it's such a powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things you see that people go through to find this feminine power in themselves? You know, can you give some examples of that process that you've seen people experience?
Mm.
That's a hard question. I know.
There's so many. And, you know, I don't think it's always, you know, we have this concept of the higher self, you know, and the higher self is within us, right? It's like, mm-hmm. it's like God within us or the goddess within us, right? And so that energy can often be, you know, I don't want to put a gender on that energy. I think it can be, you know, masculine or feminine or gender neutral, right? That,
yeah.
that energy of self. But being at, here's what I do want to say about it, but being able to access that energy is what I believe, Magdalene and Jesus were teaching, like that is within us, right? And so that energy is within us and we can access that in order to help all the little places inside of us, right? So that energy is not always the divine feminine, but I think the divine feminine is a higher guidance that is instructing us to find that within ourselves because the culture, you know, Judeo-Christian culture for thousands of years has had, you know, God and the Pope and, you know, all of that outside of us. And so we don't have that within. And I think it's the divine feminine's force and intention and love who's trying to bring us back to that, which is why I believe IFS is so popular, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's a way to get access back to that wisdom that we've lost. You know, it's been given, you know, our power's been given away to the church, to the temples, to the government, to the whatever. It's like outside of ourselves. And so I think IFS is a way to help us realign again with who we truly are. And I think that's why it's so popular. And I do think that it's the divine feminine that's instructing this. I know it is for me. I don't think that's true for every IFS therapist. I think there's some people who teach it very linearly and they're not teaching it in the same way, but I know that it's true for me and I know that it's true for a handful of my colleagues. So,
you know, being that I know you and I got to spend 10 days with you and we were doing a lot of intense energy work, but mm-hmm. also just your vibration was really obvious in the first 10 seconds that I met you, you know, you have such a power between your hips that you are so empowered in your second chakra, almost like, I keep wanting to say, like the power of growing a baby or having a child and growing that. But it's even more than that, that you're growing dreams and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And that to me is something of that feminine impetus that makes women so unique that whether they have a child or not, they still have that internal difference between men that they can receive and grow and cultivate something. And, you know, we're kind of missing that. We're missing the respect that we should be giving to women just for that gift that they have. So if you're, I mean, if you're a man out there, you know, honor that womb that your partner or lover or friend has, because it's a different perspective.
Yeah, a lot of really beautiful things, I think, come out of that womb knowing. And it's not always linear. So it's interesting. I was doing a process the other day about really calling in all the, I want to call them moon goddesses, you know, the women who have grown all of this in their wombs, and it comes out, and then it's taken over by, you know, the sun gods, or the, you know, someone else is like, oh, that's mine, right? Like women and the moon goddesses aren't seen as much as, like, you know, the people who are just like, here's my thing in the world, you know, like we're a little behind the scenes, you know, giving birth and bringing things into the world, you know?
And, you know, maybe the growth of this feminine consciousness is maybe a lot of women are staying behind the scenes. However, that respect that they deserve will cultivate power for both genders.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And just like the Native American women we're talking about in this film, it's like, if the men really listen to them, you know, really take their wisdom into account, and it's really honored, it's a win-win for everyone, right? It's like that needs to be listened to and honored.
Yes.
Within men and women together, within, you know, internally, you know, really listening, that inner marriage, you know, I think that's such an important concept, this idea of men and women both finding that inner marriage within so that they can really listen to it. And one of the most beautiful things I think about IFS and the legacy burden work that I do is really cultivating this idea that we can let go of some of the burdens that we carry from, you know, 2,000 years of patriarchy. We can start to let that go, both men and women, and find that marriage within ourselves, you know, within ourselves. And then our external relationships are so much better too.
Indeed. I just got to interrupt the show because we're right at midpoint, which is the perfect time to tell you, you are on Becoming Quantum Conscious. I am Bart Sharp, and you are listening to United Public Radio and UFO Radio Network on 107.7 and 105.3. And if I forgot to tell you at the first of the show, let me just say it now, that this is on Roku, cable television, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, other internet platforms, as well as the UPRN website. And so you can catch this and also send it out to your friends that this is such an awesome recording that you want to say, you got to listen to this Kay Gardner woman, and because she's got some great stuff going on out of Internal Family Systems, of course. Did I forget anything that I need to say? No, I think that about covers it. So, you know, you talk about the legacy burdens. Can you just share a little bit about what's that personal journey or that took you back to something as profound as Mary Magdalene? Because, you know, when we tell people that when you start to live in spirit or you start to uncover this stuff, that God has actually comes to you in some way, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not an intellectual concept, but it's something else. What are your thoughts on that?
About what it is? About...
Yeah, and your process with the legacy burden and
well,
you know.
Well, I, you know, as I said before, I always knew that I had something guiding me. I was not sure what it was until I started to go into kind of deeper meditations and ask questions. And then it was always this, dark feminine that came through. And it took me a while to realize Mary Magdalene was a primary guide of mine. But then this legacy burden stuff, this was a different thing that happened. I had heard some woman at a very early at the Institute for Juvenile Research who had studied with Dick and knew about IFS, and she had used the concept of legacy burdens. And I thought to myself, this is something that I could feel that I had a legacy burden. I know my mother's mother had died in a mental institution, and my mother had a lot of abandonment issues. And I knew that I too had that. And so I went on a journey to try to figure out how to work with this. Like, nobody knew how to work with it. They just mentioned it. So
I'm talking about a shaman journey.
Yeah.
Shamanistic journey.
Yeah. So I went and studied South American shamanism with Alberto Villoldo. I studied with all kinds of energy workers and studied Rupert Sheldrake, and, you know, just was really on a journey to explore what this meant, you know, these legacy burdens, and how could I possibly work with them. And I knew it had to be an energetic process. So, because you can't just talk this out of you, right? It needs to be energetic. And so calling on all the energy work that I knew, and I felt like I was being guided in this process. Like, this was a process that was being guided for me. And it took me to many teachers, Daniel Four being one of them, of ancestral medicine, learning how to work with my ancestors and contacting them and having them come in to help to heal the lineages that I've been carrying. You know, my mother's people, my father's people, my mother's mother's people, my mother's father's people.
So no, to clarify, it's all of those abuses and disappointments and pains and some repressed anger that they carried till the end of their days, and it came across to you spiritually, genetically. Yes. How does that work?
Spiritually and energetically. Like, there's a guy named Rupert Sheldrake. He's a physicist, and I started to read him. He was one of the first people I read. And talks about these energetic links that go through ancestor lines. They go through more than that. They go through, you know, men have an energetic link. Women have an energetic link, right? Like people, African people have an energetic link, Jewish people, right? A morphic field is what he talked about. And so I knew that there were these energetic fields. And then it was a matter of, okay, well, how do we start to break them? How do we start to let go of what we carry, right? And so setting up an ancestor who's whole and well and getting access to an ancestor who has that wholeness within them, like Mary Magdalene did, right? So became one of my primary ancestors, and she could hold some space and help to heal some of the ancestor legacies that I have, and not just my personal ones, but, you know, patriarchy being one of them, you know, religious difficulties, wars, you know, people losing power, like all of that can.
That's, Yeah, this is an amazing concept that you bring up, and I just want to clarify a little bit for the audience.
Sure.
You're literally asking for the spirit and the being of Mary Magdalene to appear, and you kind of connect with that wholeness, which helps you be more whole?
Yes, yes, yes. And then if she's willing, or if one of our ancestors is willing, we can ask them to help to heal our ancestor lines, right? And they are so willing because we need help and they're there. You know, it's like, this is something I learned from Daniel 4, bless his heart, that they're waiting to help us, right? Like, because
they are.
So, and I'm talking about white people right now, Western culture, white people, right? Because a lot of African culture already has connection with their ancestors. A lot of Native Americans have that. Asian folks have connection to ancestors. But most of us Western white people and Western people in general, we don't have that, right? We're not brought up learning to really honor our wise ancestors way back. Like, we don't even know we have them, right? We know we have these. And maybe we know our grandparents, and maybe we know a little bit about our great grandparents. But it's one of the reasons that I wanted to go to France, because I am French, right? And I've been trying to go back to my ancestors to feel into the wisdom that they have and that we have lost, mm-hmm. right?
We've lost.
And I'm 100% Celtic, right? So I know that the Celtic people had a lot of wisdom at one time, similar to how the Native people have, and the Tibetan Buddhists, who are the people we go to for knowledge, because frankly, we've lost ours, right? I've lost mine.
Well, I think it's a lot because, you know, America is a melting pot, and that's what we're really talking about.
Yes.
Whereas you're in France, you have generations upon generations of people all living here together.
Yes.
You know, people are coming in, you know, but basically they've kept that same identity with it. And that would be true with American Indians, Africans, etc. But we are different. And it's there's pluses in that the vision, we're very creative. Also, we're very hungry.
Yes.
We want to also get beyond this pain. Sometimes the hunger is trying to, you know, defeat the pain by accomplishing a lot, for example, but we're still not whole.
So yeah,
our country is really challenged with that. And you could think about other societies that might be different. I mean, I would think the Jews in Israel have their own set of challenges, particularly currently now, just like the Iranians would have theirs. It's just a different picture. But this eternal family systems and going back generations to finding what is it, the God or goddess, and probably more goddess, that can help heal you, that can help bring things together for you.
Yes.
You know, who would that be?
Yes.
You know, this is a good question for all of us to ask.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a feminine process. And I want to ask you another question along this. What does it feel like for you when you start to go into this world of Magdalene and do this?
It feels fabulous. I stumbled on this during COVID, actually, stumbled on this idea of being really deeply connected between the earth and the sky, and then calling in my guides to be with me. Like, this alignment that I believe, you know, once upon a time, my people, our people, the wise people, had this alignment all the time. You know, they would do ceremony, you know, with the stars and the sun and the earth. And it's like that alignment has been lost in so many of us. So to bring us back into alignment and to help us heal what we have carried that has taken us out of alignment it's a lifetime process, I think.
It is. And what I'm amazed with, as you tell your story, is that you have read all of these authors, studied it very intellectually, but still it takes you back to someplace like your womb or your heart and feeling it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And calling it in. Yeah, it's a totally intuitive, energetic process for me. And, you know, and really a lot of people have not taken me seriously, but I had one of my students said something that I thought was a pretty high compliment. He goes, yeah, you know, Kay, she's a little flaky, but man, she knows her stuff. I think that that's true, right?
I would have to say that differently. I would say that Kay is a really juicy with all of this big energy, and she's really funny. She knows her stuff.
Yeah, you know. I know, but this is like somebody who that woo-woo factor that it's like,
yeah,
well, they can't quite, they're like, I know she's a little woo-woo, but man, she's like, no, she's onto something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the intangible that you can't see, you know, and you can't see it through the words almost, but it's more the energy behind the words. When you speak, you go, I trust her.
Yeah.
You know, it's experience. It's all of these things.
Yeah.
That's why I say it's juicy. It's like this vibration that's just, it's hard to get it. It's hard to get it for words, but you know, when you got it, it just happens. And to me, this is divine feminine. This is divine feminine that, you know, you embody, mainly because you've gotten to know it quite well.
Mm-hmm. And I listen. I listen. Yeah. I can get out of alignment with it, and then it's like, then I'm
sure.
I'm in a little bit of trouble, or I'm lost. I'm a little like, oh, I need to go. Blah. You know, I can get lost in that, you know, colonized, capitalistic way that Americans can get lost. But I back home, I'm not lost anymore.
Yeah, and that's what we all had to know. Practical Western, but also industrial world, which we're all industrial. We all have McDonald's in our countries these days, which is the sign that we are industrialized. If we have a McDonald's, God bless them. but you know, that's the symbol that, you know, you got this masculine guide, and it's going to push you, but it's also going to misguide you until you get in touch with this powerful feminine consciousness.
Yes. And that, I want to say something about that masculine guide. It's not, I love men, and I am a big fan of men. I am not a big fan of patriarchy. Not at all. Yeah. Hate it. I feel like I'm here to blow it up. And sometimes, you know, men in my life will be running that energy. And then I have to just be like, okay, I'm not swimming in those waters with you. Right. But the men that I surround myself with are also really drawn to the divine feminine. And I try pretty much to stay away from people who are drawn by that other energy. And that's women too. It's like, it's not just a male thing. It's a patriarchy thing. Yeah. And if people are really operating out of that system, you know, I just am not interested. Right. And I can operate out of that system because I've internalized it. I have to work really hard because I've been swimming in the waters of it forever. Right. It's like,
maybe the question is always to ask, well, how did I get hooked in this time to that? And either you're like falling into it like they are, or you're in resistance or reacting to it. But either way, you're disconnecting you from your power, your feminine source that holds all of that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. The we haven't been nurtured on, you know, we all grew up with a god. Nobody grew up with a goddess or no Western culture I'm talking about right now.
Right.
about other cultures, but there was very little talk of goddess, right? So we're all aligned with this masculine. And yeah. it's very important to find that alignment back to the feminine. Like we're naturally oriented the other way. So we have to work with people like you who are bringing people on these beautiful journeys to hang out with the feminine. I'm so appreciative of that.
Yeah, it's really fun because this is a feminine land in Southwest France. It's just coming up as a vibration that stimulates this to come, and it's all feels really great. And also the shadow comes up and, it's that journey. With your group though, everybody had done tons of work. So we were on, playtime most of the time of opening this up, and this is great. Every group's different.
Beautiful experience. It was waves were like magnificent for me. And the level of grief that I felt in that one cave, like where the Cathars were, like I just could, because my people, I know that was part of my either past lives or my lineage. It was hard to tell, but there was so much that came through there. And I'm just eternally grateful to you.
My pleasure. And that's what the light does. It always brings up, what's repressed sometimes, because in that light, we're ready to handle it a lot of times. Yes. So whenever you feel like, oh, I'm missing my mystical experience because of my negative thoughts, go, no, ask questions about what is it trying to teach you.
Yes.
And not have any resistance to it, and the answers will come.
Yes.
I wanted to just shift a little bit, because this is about, a lot about the future of the feminine, how we're going to direct, how it's working. And we've talked indirectly about that, but just food for thought or questions. Who are some of the feminine leaders that you think in the world that are really good leaders?
I wanted to talk about this. I'm glad you brought it back up, because I want to really acknowledge a teacher that I've worked with quite a bit. Her name is Chielsim Alioni, and she's a Buddhist teacher, and she runs a place called Tara Mandala in Colorado. And she is she's a Tibetan Buddhist, and she's an emissary for someone named Machig Lobdrum. And she's teaching people, she's teaching the feminine through Buddhism. And I'm so grateful. Wow. Buddhism can be so patriarchal, and she's really doing some really, really beautiful work.
And what was her name again?
Tilsium, T-S-U-L-T-R-I-M, Alioni, A-L-L-I-O-N-E. She's written books called The Wisdom Dakinis. It's a meditation that I do most days. It's a very powerful meditation, bringing in the Dakinis, which are these little feminine booties, and this practice that Machig Lobdrum brought in called Chud practice, which is similar to IFS. It's got some similarities, so it's no surprise that I'm attracted to it.
Wow, cool.
So I'm really honoring her.
Wonderful.
It's important that I mentioned her.
And I'd just like to mention two people, and maybe we can just spend a few minutes just talking about, well, who do we think that's feminine and great out in the world?
I do need to go in like 2 minutes though.
Well, I would say that Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Taylor Swift are my two heroes. Ruth has passed on, but both of them have a generosity that I for humankind that I think is very powerful. We're going to start ending the show up, and I like to say that this is Becoming Quantum Conscious. My name is Bart Sharp, and you are on the United Public Radio Network. And I think I'm going to say that at the end, and I'm just going to let you go when you need to go. So let's just end it with your part, and then we'll turn you off. And I just want to express my gratitude being with you today. You know, we really explored a really deep topic, and thank you so much, Kay. Kay is of the Eternal Family Systems, and you can go on the internet and look up Eternal Family Systems and just go into that knowledge base. Mm-hmm. Is there any last message that you would like to give before you depart?
No, I just want to just say how fun it's been for me to be with you, and how grateful I am for this time. And also, you know, just to know this is the time of the feminine as we move into, you know, early May, and just to really take some time to honor her. She feels it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kay. I'm going to turn you off, and then I'm going to close the show out.
Okay. So, thank you so much, Bart. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you so much. And we'll see you soon.
France. Give love to France for me. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Gosh. She always surprises me. When we were on tour together, she was always surprising me with wonderful concepts and provocative questions. And we always have these group sing-alongs in the van as we drove along, which is singing was really important. She knew all of these 60s and 70s songs. So we were in a joyful mode the whole time. And yes, it is the time of the feminine that we're waking up. And if you've been listening to some of the shows on Becoming Quantum Conscious, you have been hearing those messages with the eclipse and, you know, all the things that are changing in the age of coming into Aquarius. All I got to say is pay attention and see how it applies to your life and get busy doing it, because we all need to help this happen if we want it to happen in a big way. Doesn't mean you have to change the world all by yourself. Just do your part. And so this is Bart Sharp, and this is Becoming Quantum Conscious on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on Roku, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and the UPRN website and other internet platforms. And we're also broadcasting out of 107.7 and 105.3. I think I got them all covered in there. Next week, we will have the lovely Michaela O'Driscoll on the show, and we will be talking about homeopathic remedies and stress and tension and stuff. And it's also a good time to just get some homeopathic consultation if you're so inclined to join on the chat. We'll be live next week. This week we're recorded, and mainly because I'm having a hard time getting things coordinated in France, but I'm doing a better job with great live shows all throughout May, including Perdita Finn and Clark, her husband, Clark Strand, and more to come. So stay tuned, and I'm really glad you came onto the show today. And if I was going to have one final word, because I have one more minute of showtime, it would be pay attention to what's inside of you. This is the path of getting out of the masculine and getting into your feminine side, was pay attention to your intentions. Whenever you feel stress or a negative thought or you're overwhelmed, stop, sit down, breathe, and listen to your body. In other words, feel what feels stressed. It's usually in your gut, but there will be this place in your body that is not comfortable. And that's where you're holding whatever emotional tension you have in that moment. And you can just be with it. Let it calm down. And then your body will relax. You'll get out of your head more. You'll get out of your masculine side, and you'll drop into a more gentle, self-loving, intuitive, and expansive side of the feminine. And your intuition will show up, and all of a sudden, your answers will appear. You know, because you're in this question of like, well, what am I not understanding about this? You know, what's this trying to teach me? It's in that curiosity that the feminine will give you those types of answers. It's basically your internal wisdom. So I'll leave you with that. And I hope to hear from y'all next week. And thank you so much for being on the show and listening to us. And we'll see you next week at Becoming Quantum Conscious. And I am Bart Sharp. Bye-bye.